The first reading for today is from Revelations chapter 22, verses 6 through 13. And the angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, 'Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' Then he told me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. But let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end."
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We have various kinds of calendars that we work with. There are the standard fiscal calendars, which is a Gregorian calendar that we use, January 1 through December 31st. It's where the numbers are usually done for financial institutions. There are also academic calendars that run from, well, they used to run from September to May, but now we go back before September into August, and now we go a little bit after May into June, so pretty much it's about to be a year-round thing there too, it looks like, but those academic calendars are certainly important for many. And then there's also this church calendar, which is even more peculiar because here we're actually starting the new year next Sunday, and it's a floating day, kind of like the academic calendars. There's that floating day on when it starts and when it ends, depending on different things. Uniquely enough, we're still working off the patterns of the moon in setting these things. It's one of the last holdovers of the pagan things that Christianity has yet to dump. And I guess since we've spread out so much around the world into so many denominations, to get everybody to agree on something new would be harder than just living with what we have. So we take it. New year, next Sunday, with the beginning of Advent. And that leaves us with this, the last Sunday. Christ the King, some call it. Last Sunday of the church year is just a simple name for it. Also, the Sunday of fulfillment. However the term is reflected for this day, the readings for this day tend to bring us to an understanding that the end is near and Christ is coming. He is coming again and he is coming again soon. That is the pointed promise that God makes to us in our text. That is the gift, if you will, that God gives to us at year's end and in the beginning also with Advent, the texts that remind us that the struggles you face, the hardships, the persecutions, the problems, these things are all very temporary. They may seem like they lasted an eternity for some folks at times, but they are very temporary because Christ is coming again soon. Our text from Revelation, in fact, is a portion of the Apostle John's vision of heaven. And these visions that John had of heaven witnessed to him the glories and the magnitude of God, and they, in this particular point, actually brought him down to his knees. And as he fell upon his knees, there's an angel that is there to remind him, "Nope, you don't kneel before me. We only kneel before God, the one that is coming soon, the Lamb who's been revealed." Jesus is the culmination of the Father's love for us. Jesus and his second coming is all that we have to await at this time anymore in our life. We live this life waiting for him to return. And the scripture reminds us, in fact, in this particular text, three times that the end is coming soon. There's this dialogue between John and the angel, and then the charges that are given to John on what he needs to do and the importance on where things need to be focused at this point still. Paying attention to the prophecies, keeping the promises that are in this book. This is what you need to do. How do we prepare ourselves when someone is coming? When you have company coming, you clean the house a little bit more than you normally do, probably. You put away some of those things that you normally would have left out. And I say probably because maybe not, but I'm giving you the opportunity to go either way on this. We do typically straighten things up a little bit more. When someone else is coming over for dinner, we may not show up to the dinner table in our sweats and t-shirt. We may get more prepared for someone else to come to dinner and join us. When we've got relatives that are coming in and they're going to be staying with us, we have to get the room ready for them. We have to get everything spruced up and fresh linens. We get prepared for them to come. We clean the bathroom a little bit more. Everything, and I say we, which in many cases means one person or other in the family. Wives typically do better at that than husbands, but many husbands are good at that as well. We do prepare for this. Well, how do you prepare for the coming of the most important person in your life? For Christ's return. How are you preparing for his return? Because he said he's coming, and he said he's coming soon. Oh, now, if you had folks come to visit the house, I don't know that that would do. When are you going to be here? We'll be there soon. Okay, so you're going to let me know like within a few hours out or days out, or what's that mean? I'll be there soon. We wouldn't settle for that with other company, perhaps, but with Jesus, we can cut him some slack. He's got a lot of things on his plate and taking care of the world and all and salvation for everyone. So recognizing that Jesus is coming soon, what are you doing to prepare? Many religions in that time of preparation tend to lose focus of Christ. They tend to turn their eyes away from what they need to pay attention to the most and turn to more earthly things. Now, it doesn't mean that as we await his coming, we're not living our lives to the fullest, and we're not actively carrying out the work that we need to do, mission work, ministry work, or just even daily living and knowing that we're ready when he returns. We're called to live this life. But some denominations get this a little fouled up. I always shudder when I see the giant billboards with the pastor and Mrs. Pastor on them, or in a few cases, the Mrs. Pastor or the pastor and Mr. Pastor on them. And I see that the promotion says it's all about Jesus, like we've done with the LCMS for a Reformation. But then there's this big, bright, gleaming photo of two people with perfect teeth smiling at me on the billboard that are saying that it seems like it's not so much all about Jesus here. Because it seems like we might be promoting someone else. And that happens in churches where ministers are elevated and almost worshiped, if you will, as much as the Lord. In fact, in churches where pastors take calls and go out after they've served for many years, and people just drop out of the church when that pastor leaves, then the emphasis that that pastor gave to the people all those years was wrong. If they're leaving because the pastor is not there, then their hearts were not where they needed to be. And the pastor didn't do his job. We need to focus on Christ always. We need to focus on him always within our lives, not just in this time of worship, but in our time of living. You've got 6.5 more days left in this week to praise God, not just today. We got 6.5 more days in this week to serve the Lord with joyful hearts and to live for him and to continue to prepare for his coming. Now, wouldn't it be cool if he comes while we're worshiping? Sure, we really feel ready at that point. This is the place where if there is any day of the week, any morning where I can say I'm ready for the Lord to return, it's Sunday morning. Because I'm doing what I feel I'm supposed to be doing. The rest of the week, not always so much. Sometimes we're following faithfully and sometimes we're not. Here it's easy because we've got our focus directed in the right place. We've got the music, we've got the word, we've got the hearts of those around us and our purpose for gathering here today to keep us mindful of what is coming. And that what is coming is Christ. It's not so easy day to day, but that's where we have to continue to remain faithful, to be steadfast, to be immovable by the world, and continue to show and reflect our love for Christ. It's not easy, this righteous and holy living. It gets very difficult. We're not inclined to be holy. God made us that way, but because of sin in the world, our sinful nature pulls us away from God. And then you get that harsh statement that comes in our text today that can really be a point of fear for some. Let him who has done wrong continue to do wrong, as if, you know, we'll just leave him to it. Don't worry about them anymore. Let them who are vile continue to be vile. Let those who do right continue to do right, and he who is holy continue to be holy. Well, we know there was only one of those, Jesus. But it sounds like the Lord's kind of washing his hands at this point. The separation has already taken place. The sheep and the goats, as our other text talks about. You're either with God or you're without God. And realistically, that is the way it is. The Lord knows those that are for him and those that will be for him. And he knows those who are against him will continue to be against him. Others will come to faith and be saved, and they're just not there. They're on their journey still. But there are those that will not return. And with that, the Lord says, we have to understand that even though they're hard words, this is the way it works in the end. That should all the more prepare us in our hearts to continue to be faithful to God until the end. The point is that is made is not that there is no hope in bringing the gospel to the wicked. In fact, actually, the verse that follows our text today, verse 14 of Revelation, says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates of the city." There are some that are still on that journey. They're going to wash their robes. They're going to follow. But the truth is, those who are the wicked and who have defiled God's word, who have rejected God's word completely and refused to hear the words of the prophecies of this book, as our text reminds us, they will continue to be wicked and live defiled lives away from God and under his judgment. The believer, on the other hand, has received the forgiveness of sins. And in that forgiveness of sins, we have the promise of eternal life. And that eternal life is therefore for you today. You have the foretaste of that feast, our time of worship, our time of praise, our time of helping one another and being helped by others. Our time of supporting each other and talking about Christ, that's just kind of like the little tester spoon they give you at the ice cream parlor if you want to try something. Here, you get this much. And then the rest of the bounty is still out there ahead of us. Ice cream, and when it's below 50, I don't know. It's always time for ice cream. It's also always time for Christ. We get a taste, but there's so much more that's coming. There's so much more that the Lord wants to reveal to us. And all that is needed is that you believe in his word and his promises. So with that, do you truly believe that Christ is coming again? Do you believe the statement that he made when he said, "I am coming soon"? And if so, how does your life reflect that? Do you live day to day as if the Lord is coming soon? Do you live day to day showing that you believe in Christ? Do you have grudges that you're holding on to? Then you're not quite living it like you think you're living it? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart for someone? Then you're not quite on the same path that you say you're on if you think that you are living day to day for Christ. Do you harbor resentment for folks, for anyone? If so, then there's still some room for improvement in that journey to the Lord. We're not perfect yet. We're sinful beings in need of forgiveness. But Christ will come to give us that forgiveness. Do we faithfully serve? Do we fully serve? Do we go out there and act as disciples for God? Does your life reflect this? Wherever you work, wherever you shop, wherever you minister, wherever you live to your neighbors, do they know your faith? Have you revealed that opportunity to them to know your faith, that you might know them? We're not very good at this. Other religions are pretty good at this. That's why religions such as Islam continue to grow. Christianity does not. Oh, there are some countries where it's expanding, but not the United States, certainly not. Not many of the European countries. We continue to fall away. We're not even passing along faithfully to the generations that follow us that word of God. God wants us to live under Him and to live for Him, recognizing that the final victory is coming soon. With Christ comes that final battle, and the devil is cast out. And all those who defile the word of God, who are the unbelievers, will be separated from those who have faith and live that faith. Even the last verse of our text, and oh, that could get us in some kind of trouble with the concept of works righteousness, I suppose, if it's taken out of context. But when he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, he preceded that with saying, I'm coming soon, my reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So those that do evil receive that, those that do good receive that. But that's because the Lord already knows the end of our story. He's outside of time. He already knows how you're going to perform in this life. And the reward that He's going to give you is not something that actually you earned. It's because of the good that He was able to accomplish through you. We follow the Lord. He gets the credit. We turn away from the Lord. We do. We trust in Christ, and we know that we can only do that because He's revealed Himself to us. We turn away from Him, and it's our own fault. We live for the Lord because we know He is a loving God, and we find that out only because of His Holy Spirit revealing that through His Word and sacraments. Or we live for ourselves, and we learn that by ourselves and from the world. These things are promised to us, to all who believe. And that's good news. It gives us hope. It should give you hope to know that whatever it is that you face the struggles in for this day, whatever it is that you will deal with in the days, weeks, or months to come, God has it under control. God is watching out for you. You belong to Him. You're the sheep of His pasture. And Christ is the good shepherd. He's also the Lamb of God, that sacrifice that takes away the sins of the world, so that we know we have the opportunity to be a part of that victory. The promises of that final victory are for all who believe. The call is for us to now live as we believe. Show you believe, not for your own sake. You've been saved. You're taken care of. But there are those around you that need to know, need to be witnessed to. They need to receive your mercies and your compassion, because that's Christ working through us. The reason you're still here is not for your sake. You've been saved. God could call you home now. The reason you're here is because God has work for you to do. And it begins with our neighbors. Sometimes it begins in our own families. God blesses us that we might bless others. He calls us to be ready. He calls us to be prepared because we know that He is coming soon. Will you be ready? What will you do to get ready if you're not? In Jesus' name. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God.